We doubt that God is going to hear us or answer. And so in that setting, in our mindset of, well, I've been at this for months. I've been at this for years. And so Jesus says so simply, whatever you're concerned about, whatever it is that's on your heart, I want to hear about it. I want you to bring it to me. Bring it to me.
Following us from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country. Guest preacher Richard Kogler, February 25th, 2018. This message is based on Luke 18, verses 1 to 8.
Fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, may the Holy Spirit strengthen your faith in your Savior today and always, and may you come to Him in prayer with confidence that He hears and answers. Amen. The Word of God before us this morning has already been read. Pastor read it earlier, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. But I'd like to highlight just a couple of verses before I share this message with you today. It starts in verse 18, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And later in our text it says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I will tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Fellow believers, there are many, many things that have been said of prayer and spoken of prayer. We look to the scriptures, and here Jesus teaches us how to pray. During this Lenten season, you've been following a series of messages that focus on the Lord instructing us. And here this morning, it's very clear he wants to teach us some characteristic about a good prayer life for Christians. Now, prayer has been defined in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's very simple. It's just a heart-to-heart talk with God. Prayer is our talking to God. The Lord speaks to us through His Word. Prayer has been defined in a variety of other ways. Comments on prayer. Luther said, as it is the business of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. Some beautiful hymns have been written about prayer. Perhaps you recall these verses. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. One of many beautiful hymns written about prayer. This comment was made by a Christian theologian. At the profoundest depths in life, men talk not about God, but with Him. How true that is. In our deepest need, we pray. In times of trouble, we pray. In times of success, we pray. Let me ask you this. Have you ever found a season in your life where you've stopped praying? There was something that was on your heart, on your mind, that was in your life at that particular time, and you brought it to the Lord in prayer, and you kept bringing it. Perhaps it's your habit to close your day with the Lord's Prayer, or another evening prayer, something perhaps Luther has written. And then you add on and tack on that request of God to deal with some issue in your life, some circumstance that you're living in, some relative, a child, a family member, some personal struggle or illness, and you've attached it to it, and you've done that over time, weeks, months, years perhaps, and there would appear to be silence. Yeah, I think we've all had something like that in our life where we pray consistently and over time, and yet there appears to be silence. It's almost like we're wrestling with God. We're bringing it, He's answering, but perhaps not in the way we had hoped. In the Old Testament, it talks about Jacob who wrestled with God. It's that back and forth that was represented there between God and man. And God answered his prayer, changed his name, and from him the Savior comes. Wrestling with God in prayer. Well, there's a lesson that Jesus wants us to learn today about our prayer life, and he says, I want you to keep on praying and don't give up. Don't quit. Very simple lesson. He tells us a parable to illustrate it so that we better understand this important point. But before we look at the parable itself, think about Jesus in his own prayer life, the example of our Savior when it came to his journeying to the cross and on to his ascension into heaven. And think about his prayer life. Jesus is a beautiful example of prayer. In the most difficult of times, he prayed. He didn't quit praying. He didn't stop praying. He prayed for people. He prayed for the believer. He prayed for the unbeliever. He prayed for the government. He prayed for the common citizen. He prayed for people who rejected him. He prayed for those who believed on him. Jesus sets a beautiful example of a Christian prayer life in his very prayer life. But he has something to say to his disciples. He has been teaching them about prayer, and he spoke this very familiar verse. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. And Jesus is talking to believers. He's talking to Christian people. And he's underlining the fact that God exists. He is triune. He does hear. He does listen. He does respond. And as for you and me, keep at it. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. There's someone on the other end. Now, the world in which we live in would tell us that prayer, psychologically, good thing. Keep it up. Do it. But as far as accomplishing anything on the level of the divine, as far as bringing something about that touches your life personally, not so much, right? But there's this generic discussion about prayer and its value and its goodness, psychologically good. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's saying we should pray because there is a divine being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are listening, and they will use their power to act on your behalf and in the lives of other people. Now, Jesus tells this lesson in prayer to his disciples because he's speaking right after the Pharisees had confronted him, and it had become very clear at this point in Jesus' ministry that he was going to be under persecution, and it was going to get worse and worse. In fact, he predicts and prophesies his going to the cross. And he tells his disciples about these things, and he knows that his disciples are going to need help once he ascends into heaven. He's no longer physically with them. And so he wants them to know that help is just a prayer away. But he knows his disciples. He knows us. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our seasons and active faith life. And he also knows the sinful nature that still clings to us. And so he says, as he introduces the parable, something very simple. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He had a special message there for his disciples. Whatever your circumstance, whatever persecution you're going to face, whatever trouble or hardship, whatever blessing God gives on your ministry and proclamation of the gospel, I want you to keep on praying. And don't give up. Be persistent. Because you're going to need the Lord's help to manage the successes and to see you through the hard times. Either way, you can't do it alone. You need the Lord, and you need Him, and you can ask for His help through prayer. Jesus understood His disciples. He understands you and me. We are weak. We are sinful. We're not perfect. We don't pray perfectly. And sometimes we quit. We doubt that God is going to hear us or answer in a way that will be for our good or for the good of that other person we're praying for. And so in that setting, in our mindset of, well, I've been at this for months. I've been at this for years. Forget it. Time to stop. Time to move on. The Lord's not listening. The Lord's not going to answer. I just have to suck it up and get tough and move on. That's the way life is, you know. Jesus says, I understand your weakness. I understand your doubt. And that's exactly why I've come into the world, because you are not perfect. I am. And your sins of doubt and the times you have given up, failing to trust my promise, I've come to die for. So that you might have peace with God, so that you might stand before God's throne clothed in my righteousness, not yours. And he assures us that there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. He assures us of God's forgiveness. So as you think about the times when you've been praying for that son or daughter who you raised in the Christian faith, you brought to Sunday school, you taught them about their Savior, they were baptized, they believed, but then they turned 23, 24, 30, and you haven't seen them in a church. They've not sat in a pew. They've not communed with you for decades. And you've watched them stray further and further away from their Savior. And you say, I'm going to pray for them. And you do. Again and again. But then decades have passed, and so what happens? I think I'll just stop. Nothing's going to happen or change. Or maybe there's a chronic illness that you've wrestled with most of your life and you've asked God to help you with it, help you bear the pain and the suffering, or bring about some change, and it just doesn't seem to go away. So, I quit. Not going to talk to the Lord about that anymore. I'll bring him some other things. Yeah. It's our story, isn't it? I say our story. Where we pray and then just quit. And Jesus comes to us today and he speaks to us and he wants us to learn a lesson about our prayer life. Because you stand forgiven for the times you've quit and doubted God's promise to hear and answer prayer, you can come back and pray again. He intercedes for us before the Father's throne. The Holy Spirit takes our prayers that aren't always clear or consistent and turns them to the words that the Heavenly Father wants to hear. And so he says to us today, be persistent in your prayer life. And he underlines it with this beautiful parable. The parable simply states, it says, he said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. So Jesus sets it up. In the ancient days, there were judges. There were men who were in positions of authority in a community, and people would bring their problems to that judge. The judge would hear their circumstance, listen to both sides, and then render a judgment. While Jesus tells us that there was a particular judge who had an attitude problem, and it showed up in his attitude toward God, as well as his attitude towards people, and it reflected itself in his judgments. Listen to what he says. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." And that was him. He had the position, he had the power, he had the authority, but he didn't exercise it. And when he did, it was arbitrary. It wasn't considerate of those who came and pled their case. He really was in it for himself. Now, Jesus points out, your heavenly Father is not like that. He too is a judge. He too holds power. He too holds authority. He too invites you to come. He too hears those cases and will make judgment. But he is so, so very different than this earthly judge. The first thing is he has an attitude of love toward you. The second thing is he is fair and just. He does what is right, what is true, what is honest. And he is not in it just for himself. He is in it for your good and the good of all people. So Jesus points out, when it comes to your prayer life, and when you're coming before your heavenly Father, who is also a judge, remember the characteristics of that judge, of that person, that divine being you're coming before. He's not like people. He is divine. He is loving. He is just. He is merciful. And he is inviting you to come. And then Jesus goes on and tells another part of the parable. He says, for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. There it is again. He's looking out for himself. He grants her request. We're told that she has come again and again. He's laid her case before him, described an adversary, someone who's an enemy of hers coming against her. And he did nothing. But finally, he relents. Well, why? Self-serving. She's going to wear me out. In fact, the Greek tells us that there's a possibility that she might come up against me and give me a black eye, is the literal translation here of this text. And so concern for himself, concern for his physical well-being, leads him to say, okay, I don't want her here again. Granted the request. He went off, he went on. Listen to what Jesus tells us. He has a lesson about being persistent. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night for mercy? There's a point that Jesus wants us to see and learn from the requests of the woman. He kept coming back again and again and again. She was persistent. Do you have that quality in your life? Have you developed that over the years? Persistence in the workplace? You know what that's like. You've probably worked with people who have the task, and the task is before them. They know what they're supposed to do. They put their hand to it, and then I'm done. And it goes on to someone else. And maybe your employer has seen that quality in that particular person, and they said, you know, I'm going to give it to you because I know that you will stay at it and get it done. And you do, because you're persistent. Farmers tend to be very persistent. Builders tend to be very persistent. Financial managers, persistent. You have to have that quality. You have to stay at it to see it through to the end to reap a harvest, to see the building, to make any money, right? Be persistent. And Jesus says, when it comes to your prayer life, take a lesson from the widow. Be persistent. Stay at it. Don't quit. See it through to the very end of your life. And then he tells us something so very, very important. The one on the receiving end of our persistent prayers has a heart for us. That's right. God has a heart for you. He loves you. He sent his son to be your savior. And he extends this wonderful invitation. Whatever it is, whatever's troubling you, whatever you're concerned about, whatever it is that's on your heart, I want to hear about it. I want you to bring it to me. Bring it to me. Don't be anxious about anything, but everything. Bring it to me in prayer. And Jesus tells us something very, very important. Will God put you off? No. You know what it's like to be put off. You ask someone, Pastor illustrated it to the children. Children come to their parents and say, Mom, Dad, later. Mom, Dad, later. Mom, Dad, later. Pretty soon the child just says, oh, forget it, I'm not asking anymore. Same thing is true in our adult life. We bring requests to positions of authority, later. More paperwork. You have to fill this form out. And we come to a point and say, oh, forget it. God is not like that. He does not put us off. He wants to hear us, and he will act on your behalf for your eternal good out of love for you. And so Jesus says so simply, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Check your prayer life. Are you praying for things that are godly, that are good, that line up with the will of God? If you are, keep doing it. But if you check your prayer life and you see there are just a lot of selfish things here, there are just a lot of things that are born out of discontent, there are just a lot of things here that are about me and not the will of God or anybody else, take those things, repent of them, and get them out of your prayer life. And come back before the Lord with things that he's told us about already. Fighting temptation? Call upon me. I will help you. I will provide a way of escape. Daily bread? Food, clothing, shelter? Bring it to me. I've told you. Pray for daily bread. I will grant it. Help in time of trouble? You can ask that one too. To avoid evil in your life? You bet. God tempts no one to do evil, and he will help you avoid it in your own life. And what about those straying kids that I mentioned earlier? Pray for them? You bet. The prayers of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. There's a lot we can pray for. There's a lot of people we can pray for. There's a lot of things that we can give thanks for. And as we look at our lives, we see, Lord, help me be persistent. Give me the strength not to quit. And help me trust that you will answer my prayers for my good in time and eternity. And Lord, open my eyes to see your answering. Help me look around in my life and see the lives of others and my life, how you have acted again and again and again and answered my prayers. Be persistent. That's what Jesus wants us to learn about prayer today. I'd like to close by sharing with you that hymn that I quoted at the beginning of my message today. It says, prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gates of death, he enters heaven with prayer. Nor prayer is made by man alone, the Holy Spirit pleads, and Jesus on the eternal throne for sinners intercedes. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hast trod, Lord, teach us, keep teaching us how to pray. Amen.